Well, we're going to take your phone calls this hour with Christian Von Laer and, of course, Christopher Valentine as we talk about their latest work, Magical Powers and Mystical Beings. And you've got it right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Christian Von Laer, of course, with us, and Christopher Valentine as well. Christian, back to you for a moment as we look at all of this. How do you compare the leprechauns or the other nature people with ghosts? Any similarities there?
Yeah, we talked briefly about the energy similarity. Ghosts or doppelgangers are really the shell of us that we don't tend to see, but it tends to glow a lightish gray-blue around us if you have etheric vision, and that's a reservoir of energy. So when you take energy in through your chakras all day, it stores the surplus around you, and that's called etheric energy. When the body physically dies, we first transfer consciousness into that etheric body. And so temporarily, up to 2 months, sometimes only 2 days, we exist in this etheric body called a doppelganger or ghost.
Yeah.
And it's visible exactly the same way we see nature spirits. But remember, it's temporary. We will eventually go on to the astral plane. Leprechauns, of course, can live up to 2,000 years, and that's a permanent environment. It's not exactly the same energy, but from a visible point of view, it's the same. Okay.
Now, when they die, they do die, what happens? Do they simply vanish, disappear?
Yeah, they dissipate. So they start getting fainter and fainter, and it's very quick, too. Fainter and fainter, and it just sort of is like a graphic in a Photoshop or something. You can make it fainter and fainter, and it just sort of dissipates, and you can't see it anymore. We call it dissolution is because the matter that makes them up etherically, and that's still matter, just becomes like what you would call atoms, see? So it just dissipates into atoms. But technically, that's what all existence is doing. Even the universe is going to do that eventually. It's going to expand so far apart that we'll never even see another sun. And when there's nothing around it, then our sun, for example, would just dissipate. So all energy is trying to do the same thing.
Do they have that little pot of gold?
You know what the pot of gold is, George? Do you actually know what that is? I don't think people know that. It's a plant.
A plant?
It's actually a plant. It's a plant from the tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, of knowledge in the Garden of Eden, which is sort of protected in the East. Remember the Arab connection I mentioned to leprechauns?
Yeah.
So it's really, the tree is currently protected up in Tibet, hidden areas of Tibet. But there's like a plant that's an offshoot of that. And so, that tends to glow kind of gold. And the pollen from it is what tends to bring magic, because that is actually a kind of consciousness in the plant that goes across realms. So that is actually a greater magic than the leprechauns have themselves. So basically, they share the gold, spread the gold by spreading the pollen, and pixies and other kind of nature spirits help spread that around, too.
Huh.
But it's a plant.
Can you ever, Christopher, tick off a leprechaun, get them upset?
Well, I don't really think so. You can't really get them angry for the same reason we've been talking about. They only really want to do good. So my focus is always on the positive with the nature spirits. It sounds simple, but it's just they're all about bringing out your inner child and bringing out your happiness and counting your blessings at the end of the day. Because if you go back and you think about it, we are really all lucky. And that's one of the things they mention in the books is they say, people ask, how can I be lucky? And one of the leprechauns said, go to the park, sit on the park bench and recount all the things you have to be thankful for, your family, your home, all the good things that have happened in your life, and you'll realize that you've been lucky all along. So it's just a positive outlook on life.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Andrea to get things started, west of the Rockies and Salt Lake City. Welcome to the program, Andrea. You are on the air with us.
Oh, gosh, thanks. I'm really happy I got through. I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
I'm really excited to be talking to those two gentlemen because I had a strange experience. I was visiting my friend at college, and she had a roommate, and we got into tarot card readings, and the roommate had gotten a deck of cards with, like, elves on them and all this stuff. And so she went to get my friend went to get the other girl to do a reading for us, and so we went to her dorm room, we came back to our dorm room, and so we opened the door And we just, there's like this whoosh, and there's like an S pattern, and there's like a lot of giggling. And so we're like, what happened? And so inadvertently, we left the candle on. That got knocked over. All the wax spilled onto like my suitcase, which to this day I have not been able to get out, by the way.
Huh.
And it was just the craziest thing. And then, you know, there's like a lot of giggling, and then they just proceeded to demolish the dorm room.
Okay.
And then there's like a window, and they just, you know, left giggling, and we're left with going, what happened? And it was just because of these cards. And to this day, we're just like, what happened?
All right, Christopher, what happened?
Yeah. First of all, Andrea, was there anybody 12 to 19 around when this was happening?
No.
Okay. What was the typical age group?
Oh, gosh, like 20?
20? Okay, well, that's pretty darn close.
20, that's
all right.
Close.
Yeah. And also this applies to women. The hormones change, so it makes you more receptive to the other side. Here's the problem with tarot cards. It's sort of like the pendulum or the Ouija board. It's an indiscriminate window to things, and so you're letting in lower entities on the other side. It's not normally leprechauns, gnomes, elves, or fairies, but it could be elementals, or the kinds of life that seem human-like, but they're not real. They're not conscious beings, so to speak. Okay? And, of course, they do create mischief, and they do create all the physical effects like movement, touch, even color changes, scents, but usually there will be a negative tone to it. And, of course, they want, like with the child, we did a reading for the child before, they actually want your emotion reaction. That's what they're up to.
All right. Thanks, Andrea, for that. I appreciate that. Is there an elder leprechaun, Christian, out there?
Oh, there certainly is. We actually have two around us because we've drawn so many. Normally, you'll draw a leprechaun, George, because you've drawn already a lot of gnomes. So when there's 100 or more gnomes around you, they tend to need someone that can do a higher form of magic for them, so they'll draw a leprechaun or two. And of those, they actually have kings and great kings. And we actually have two in our group that are extremely old and extremely wise. And there's certain coding to the name, by the way, that lets you know how old they are and what their position is. There's a lot of little secrets that we haven't shared just yet. But, yeah, they have wise ones.
Are they obsessed with power?
With power?
Yeah.
Just the opposite. And maybe this deals with how we opened the show when we mentioned hope. All nature spirits, George, are basically, since they're builders of form, are trying to bring harmony to things. Energy should work perfectly with other energy, see? And so the reason they got involved with humans is, one, is because every time they wake up, there's a parking lot over their house, right? We're moving so quickly, so
they had to
work with us. But they are trying to harmonize our energy because we're so ego-based that we sort of think we're God and sort of get out of control there. So they inspire us and try to work with what they can to get us to be what we were meant to be, what our destiny was.
All right, let's go to Lewis in El Centro, California on the wildcard line. Lewis, go ahead.
Hey, George, I got a story and one question.
Sure.
Okay, first off, I'm a Mexican, and in our culture, we call them duendes, and they're very mischievous and they're evil. And I've seen them running around my yard, and they always move things around and make bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
My question is why does this guy call them, you know, where he tries to make them sound sweet? They're not. They're just evil beings.
That would be you, Christopher.
Well, there again, I don't think duendes have absolutely anything to do with nature spirits or nature people. That there are two different things. You know, in every culture and every country in the world, nature people are recognized. And it just depends on your culture and where your focus is at. If you go to Norway, they very much believe in gnomes, and they have such a high respect for them that before they build anything, like an airport, it's in the news all the time, you can search on the internet, they actually have laws to protect the nature people because there's that respect. Their culture goes way back, and they understand there's going to be, it's better to work with the nature people and harmonize with them, and they are, you know, there's a check and balance that goes on. But the good thing is that anywhere you go, there's usually indigenous Indians on every continent, and they still have that closeness, George, that connection to nature and nature people. The American Indians, you go to Australia, You go to Hawaii, they have the Menahune, and the people that are like the Aboriginals or the Indians have that respect and that closeness and that connection, and it's always a positive thing.
Let's go up to our wild card line, and we have Dennis in St. Louis. Dennis, good morning.
How you doing, George?
Good, Denny.
Hey, I wanted to ask your guest. I recently woke up real fast, like 5 o'clock in the morning one morning, and I saw all these little elves were around my room, and they all were startled that I woke up. And it's the first time I've ever seen anything like this, and they had the hats and the whole nine yards. And when I woke up, I asked myself, why am I seeing these elementals? And I don't know why I call them elementals, because they didn't seem evil or anything.
Yeah.
But when I woke up, they started blending into the walls and into the woodwork. Yeah, they're just like puzzle pieces together.
George, I can't tell you how many times I have heard this story, that people suddenly wake up and there they are. And were the hats, can I ask you, were the hats conical? Were they like pyramidal type shapes?
Yeah, they were like cone shaped.
That's what I thought. And that's usually almost in every scenario, you weren't seeing elves, you were seeing gnomes. Gnomes, again, are house nature spirits. So they live in your house, they're with you. Gnomes' primary responsibility is to help with your health. So it's great to have gnomes around. They're with you since you were born, and they're with you your entire life. But when people are in that state, George, where they're just waking up, they're kind of in between dimensions in a way, where their subconscious is not blocking everything that's out there. I mean, our mind does protect us, so to speak, from seeing all these different things. And we're programmed by society to believe that this isn't real. And so that's our subconscious going to work. But when people are just in that state of they're taking a nap or they're just waking up in the morning, they endlessly tell me that they see gnomes. They're on their dresser or they're in their closets, or they fade into the woodwork, or they go running into the closet.
Yeah, let me explain
really
why that's happening.
Them. You really did see gnomes. They are around you.
Chris, when we go to sleep at night, we're actually trying to go to the other side. We actually leave the physical body into our astral body. So we're actually going into a psychic state, a different level of consciousness.
Right.
And then we sort of return there when we wake up. So those are the times when people will most often see other kinds of life. I think the real question for Dennis is, was he also seeing these when he was a tiny kid? Were you having imaginary friends as a child?
Yeah, he's not with us anymore.
He probably was, in which case this state allowed him to go back and revisit that state.
Yeah, a lot of times the imaginary friends of children are the nature people, George.
Don't elves have pointy ears?
Yes. Yes, they do. They are typically very tall and slender. So if you watch them portrayed in the movies, they really did get it right. I don't know how all these different movies, especially Disney with the fairies, the elves very much have the pointy ears. They're almost like, I think, akin to like a Vulcan look, where they have very slender bodies, the tall, pointy ears, and their primary responsibility is the keepers of knowledge and protectors of the unicorns. So if there are unicorns around, and they also are another mystical being we talk about in the new book, there's usually elf scouts around to make sure they're protected.
Those ears are like mechanisms, George. They actually bend from the top down a little bit. They twist back and forth. Allows them to hear different tones and different information. They actually can judge distance by the ears.
Huh.
But that, yeah, Lord of the Rings, I think, did a really good job of portraying them that way.
Danielle, you are up with us. Emmett, Idaho. Hi, Danielle.
Hi. So I have a question for you. I was wondering if maybe the nature spirits like to hang out on your left side as opposed to like your right side. And I have an example of that. My son, he's 11 months old, and I mean, this happens all the time where just the most recent time, I was sitting on the floor with him, and he was standing up right in front of me, and he will look over my left shoulder. It never happens on my right, but he'll look over my left shoulder and will have a big old smile on his face all of a sudden, or he'll giggle or something like that. There's nothing really there.
Are you single, Danielle?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's why. That left side of you, and you're right-handed, though, right?
I'm a left I'm a lefty, but I only write with my left hand.
If you're ambidextrous and spiritual, you are actually a right-handed person. Okay. The energy, this has to do with your brain, works differently on both sides of you. That left side is where we draw soulmates and relationships. Okay. So you're drawing elves there, and could be other kind of nature spirits too, because they actually want to help with that part of your life. They've known you from past lifetimes because they live so long. And so they're trying to bring out the inner child, but also the real you, and they're trying to handle that what's missing there, which is the right relationship. So you will tend to see them on the left side because they're working there. It's that simple.
Oh.
The left side is your soulmate relationship side. Is it off the shoulders, like around the shoulders and ears?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That more specifically is that relationship side. There's a system to the way energy takes form all around. Now, I'm an eyes open clairvoyant, so I see these things, but most people probably wouldn't. But the energy actually lines up in different ways, and it means different things when we see it taking some sort of form. The left side and right side are totally different in your case.
And what do you mean by eyes open clairvoyant? Literally, your eyes are open.
Yeah. Well, see, most people that say they're clairvoyant and they see things, it's in their mind that they're seeing things, George. And there's not a lot of eyes open ones, but we actually can keep our eyes open. But I literally see the form in front of me. It's not an impression in the mind. See? That's the big distinction. I literally would see an archangel standing there. It's not an impression in the mind. It's for real.
It's how I do
medical intuition, which I'm sort of famous for, because I can actually go in and see the bones and the blood and things happening in the blood and how everything's working. And that allows me to get to the cause of the illness, not just deal with symptoms. See? But it's a different kind of clairvoyance.
Let's go next to John in Ontario, Canada. Welcome to the program. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Mr. Norrie, how are you?
Good, John.
Very nice talk to you. I'll try and do this real quick. My father had some property in the area, and I always used to go out the back. I'd bring my .22 because there was bears out there and this and that and whatever, and you could knock one down with a shot in the eye. But anyway, I used to go crawling around under the brush, because a lot of times they'd be huddled up in there. And I got to this area that I'd never been before. And there was a stump, two-seated. One was lower, one was higher. So I sat on the stump, and I thought, it was funny, too. It was raining outside, and it wasn't raining where I was. And so all of a sudden, I see a grouse. I'm just ready to shoot it, and I hear click, 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 four clicks of a double-barrel shotgun.
Huh.
I turn around, and what I was wondering, when you mentioned about their eyes, I just had turned the radio back on again. These guys... And you couldn't see them. They were dressed like the little guys from Star Wars or something. Mm-hmm. They were all dressed in a black slickers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they had their shotguns pointed at the back of my head. And I just said, no, I'm not a rabbit. I'm not a rabbit. And,
Let me ask you, Christopher. Shotguns, they have guns?
Well, George, I don't think this has anything to do with nature spirits, and I don't think that they would ever have shotguns because they are nonviolent. The nature spirits have talked about violence with us before, and they're very, very clear on this. They say we should never hurt anybody, and they also don't understand why we keep trying to reinvent the understanding of love and how to treat other people when they say our great spiritual leaders, like Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, they're all telling you the same thing over and over. We must love everything and everybody the same equally. So this story does not resonate at all with nature spirits.
All right, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with both of you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we are going to talk about relativity, but how it affects all of us in the universe. So make sure you're part of that program on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Dr. Christian Von Lehr and Christopher Valentine. Christian, how do we know that these leprechauns aren't extraterrestrials?
Extraterrestrials, if we see them, we will normally see them off to the right of us. and they will tend to look human-like as far as arms, shoulders go, but the head is always distinctly different, a little bit different than human-esque. They actually can have more angles and are more different shapes. So alien life, the head varies. Nature spirits tend to always look human-esque because they're trying to follow that wave of life. But also, if you see aliens, it actually says something about you. And if you have these proclivities, it's probably what you are seeing. People that are drawn to aliens is because we used to live in other places long before the Earth ever came about. And so we're drawing back from our beginnings, and we're here for a purpose this time. But you will find that you were very musically inclined as a child. Any kind of music or music appreciation or writing, or else you were drawn to numbers or the letters and fonts, because those are symbols that also represent the scales of music. You also will tend to be shy and a loner in life. You've learned to be very verbal. You will feel like you're the only one like you in life. So you have a lot of these traits that define you as a starseed type person anyway.
All right, back to the phones we go. We go to Cheryl in Huntington Beach, California. Cheryl, go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Norrie. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. This is my fourth time calling and fourth time coming through, believe
it
or not.
I love it.
I love it.
Knock on wood.
And Aaron Gobra to all of you.
Thank you.
Hi. Thank you.
You must have a four-leaf clover.
Yes, I am very blessed.
Fourth time, four-leaf clover, see?
Mm-hmm. I am a very lucky person. I always have been. I've been very spiritual ever since I was a child. But my question is to you, I was in Ireland about 3 years ago visiting friends. I have no living relatives, unfortunately. And I heard a lot about a fairy mounds. There are mounds, a fairy mounds, M-O-N-D-S.
M-O-U-N-D-S, right?
Right.
Right, mounds, where, right.
If you disturbed them, that they brought you very bad luck.
Well, there's something to that. And actually, this sort of ties into the last questioner, John from Ontario, because it's very likely that he was attracting what's called coal gnomes to him. They're gnomes that are actually very black because they live in coal mines. And he mentioned that there were caves around him, and they would actually have their energy go into wood, and that cracking sound is what he thought was a shotgun. But actually, it was because he was after the grouse. They actually wanted the bird nest because they take bird nest soup. So he was encroaching, see? So the same thing is true for you. They actually have environments that they've lived in for a long period of time, made their kingdoms in, since people aren't exactly inviting them into the house everywhere, see? So things might go negative or bad to you, not so much that they're doing it. It's just that the energy is adverse to them. You're doing something destructive to their household. Now, basically, we're often protected by nature spirits. All of us are. And so if they just withheld that, it may seem to you like something negative is happening to you. But technically, they're making things good happen all the time. If they pull it back, you may think that it's negative.
Christian, have you used these nature people for your own benefit?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? One of the ways you can tell if you're actually connected with a nature spirit, since they're telepathic, is they always start off by giving you information that makes no sense to you. It's like, why are you saying that? So you get these thoughts in your mind, you think you're making it up, but it's always a premonition. And so you realize, oh my gosh, someone is telling me something. I thought I saw this nature spirit, and I get this information, and it actually starts coming true within 12 to 48 hours, see? But the way we use them typically is we tend to have simple requirements in life, like finding a parking spot or catching the elevator, getting the job. And they always do that because they're trying to make you happy.
Yeah.
Where it's been very functional for me, though, it's been amazing, and I actually had to prove this to Chris. We used to travel so much doing this. Remember, we did lectures all over the country. And so we have to run from one airport to the other. So I'd go to get the luggage while Chris went to get the car. My luggage always came up first. No matter when I got there, it could be the last one on the plane. It would pop up, it would come over to me. And I swear, George, the turnstile would actually stop in front of me so I could take my luggage off and start again.
Where did the saying, the luck of the Irish, come from?
Well, you know, this goes back to St. Patrick. We actually haven't talked to him. St. Patrick was actually British, by the way. He wasn't Irish, kind of uneducated. But one of the things he did that was notable was the symbolism of the four-leaf clover. And one of those leaves represent luck. He taught people the first three mainly because they represented the Trinity when he first expressed it. But the first leaf represented faith, and the second leaf represented hope, and the third represented love. That's how he explained it to the masses. And the Irish added the fourth because the four-leaf clovers are rather unusual, and so they made that one luck.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, next up we go to, whose turn is it? Let's go to Tim in New York, east of the Rockies. Tim, go ahead. Thanks for calling. You are on Coast to Coast.
Hey, guys. I'm loving the show tonight.
Hi, Tim.
I'm curious. Have you ever heard of the legend of the Macaulay? It's from Italy. My aunt used to always tell a story when we were kids that if we didn't behave, that a Macaulay would get us. And, like, she'd give us candy or cookies, and she said if we didn't behave, that the Macaulay would come and steal it. She said it's kind of like a leprechaun, I guess. It's short. Well, I mean, the way I see a leprechaun, short.
Well, sort of an earth-type nature spirit, not necessarily a leprechaun, but yeah. You know, it seems like you're talking along the lines of goblins, aren't you?
She described it as like kind of like a monkey, like it had big teeth.
Yeah, exactly. That's more like goblins, okay? Now,
right.
There are many, many kinds of etheric life, and we tend to, when we speak of nature spirits, tend to think of the classes of them being gnomes or elves or leprechauns, but also fairies and water sprites, very, very select. But there are actually like 6,000 different kinds. And there's some variations that are also humanesque, but may actually have been in some way humanesque or actually some form of human. And so that would be probably where the goblin came in. And, of course, that's an old story, so it's been varied over time. But that wouldn't be the classical nature spirit, is what I'm saying.
Let's go to Aurora in Juneau, Alaska. Hello, Aurora. Good morning to you.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Oh, great. Thanks for taking my call. I sure love your show.
Thank you.
I was calling when I was chasing my boyfriend's dog in Washington last late summer, and he'd flipped out the slider door and was dashing around the corner of the house and up the driveway. I was right behind him, but I rounded the corner, he kind of disappeared in the darkness, closing in on him. I was just about ready to snatch him up when it turned to look back at me. Just as I was reaching to grab him, his eyes appeared orange red, almost glowing. And I realized that I couldn't really see, but just a shadow of it, and I didn't even really know what it was. So I turned to run back to the house. Just then, the dog had rounded the car behind me. I snatched him up and raced into the house. I still don't know really what it was, but the next day while gardening, both dogs and I, out in the front yard, the blue jays were going crazy. I mean, just chattering and darting about the bushes and the trees, about four or five of them, just going crazy and stopped at these bushes where we were working. So the dogs and I backed into the open garage and watched it, and they were just wildly just...
Well, we do not like red-eyed dogs, do we, Christian?
Yeah. Well, if the dog's eyes are red or orange, of course, that just means that it's excitement levels up. That's where, like, when they get angry, they do that.
Not a possessed or evil dog?
No. They're just excited some way, okay?
But in The Omen, the movie The Omen, the dog was evil.
Well, that actually was, but for a different reason. That's because it was actually like a familiar, like a cat's a familiar with the witch. So the dog was protecting the devil, so to speak, of the devil's child, okay? But not so much our reality.
Next up, Julio in El Centro, California. Julio, go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hi. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Dan. I've been holding for a while. But anyways, I just want to say that I heard a caller from another call from El Centro, California.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I agree with them. They're pretty good because I have, like, I don't know why I've seen and I've heard things around my house, same thing, like when you mentioned the duendes. But anyways, just have a story and a question.
All right.
All right. Well, okay, because at my work, every night we close. You know, we tidy up the place, we clean up, and then all of a sudden, things get knocked off the shelves. And my coworkers, we used to look at each other like, what the? And like, what's going on? So, we just look around. We check if anybody's in the store. You know, like, we're locked up. We're ready to go home. And that happens during the daytime, too. During
a little mischief maker out there.
Were they knocking any Guinness off the shelves? The first thing I want to know.
Are they into that?
They're knocking everything over, actually.
Yeah. So that actually could be an example of a nature spirit. Probably leprechauns, too, by the way, Julio. That's being playful, though, but it's not being mischievous. That's their home, their work, too. If you work there, they consider that their work. And so they're sort of playing. They're basically rearranging, right? And also trying to get your attention. I would suspect that it's a leprechaun, since leprechauns do these kind of pranks just to get you to say these magic words. Who did that? That's actually a magic phrase to the leprechauns, and it means, guess what, I'm now a part of your family, and I'm going to start changing everything for the better for you. So this could be a good thing. When it happens again, simply say, who did that, and your life's going to change.
Well, Leo, let's get your question in before we're out of time. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just wanted to ask, well, you said it was leprechauns, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's because the caller, because in our culture, Mexican families, we never invite spirits or anything like that into our home. We just don't do that.
Would you invite an angel in?
No, because okay. we're just always cautious.
I would.
You know, it's because in the Bible it said
Well, that's your problem right there, because that's because the Bible says it. Yeah.
That's interesting, though. Some people would not invite an angel into the house. Maybe they think it's a deception.
Well, it's because George, in Christianity, they considered these things idols when you did that.
Fascinating.
They actually considered angels idols at one time.
When you talk about magical powers in your book,
mm-hmm.
does that come from the leprechauns, or where do they get it?
Well, all nature spirits have magical powers to a degree because they're using etheric energy above ours. But leprechauns have extra ability because they're getting the energy around them from the astral plane. It's a different dimension. So things work differently up there. So to hear, we perceive those things as magic. I mentioned making things disappear or moving from place to place, changing time, actually making the things like wishes come true, because they influence nature around us here. And they can influence people's thoughts, okay? But because they take astral energy and that's an emotional energy, they can actually change the way other people think. So you suddenly get the job you always wanted or the car you always wanted. They also affect your brain or thinking by either calming you down or altering your thoughts, because they know what you should be thinking, because they've known you longer than you've lived. You've had many lives that they've been with. So they try to bring out the inner child in you and correct your thoughts. But basically, they're still helping you have a better life.
Fascinating work. Would you give out your website, Christian?
Yes, it's www.mystoftheoracle.com. That's M-Y-S-T of theoracle.com.
All right, and Christopher, yours is the same, right?
Absolutely, it's the same.
All right, in the book, Magical Powers, Mystical Beings, where do you get it?
You can definitely get it on our website. We have a bookstore there, and the thing is, on Amazon you can get it, but they usually charge sometimes hundreds of dollars for a new book. So,
wow.
Yes.
Yeah, so your books are going sometimes for $1,000.
You get directly from our website.
Okay, very good. Thank you, both of you, and happy St. Paddy's Day to all of you. And, of course, one of our traditions here at Coast to Coast AM, and one of our great guests, Christian Wild, author and researcher, his website, myheartbook.com. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.